Open your Bibles to John chapter 8, please. It is a joy and a thrill in my heart to share God's Word with you this afternoon, and my thanksgiving, first of all, is to God for what He has made available to me and to you through His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and through His Word. I have a book in my hand. This book is called... Its title is The Bible Tells Me So. But it's also Volume 1 in Studies in Abundant Living. And it's written by Dr. Victor Paul Weirwill. And it also has a blue cover. Therefore, this book is affectionately referred to as the Blue Book, or as Volume 1, or as probably most appropriately, The Bible Tells Me So. This particular book has some basic studies in Christian living that are foundational if you're going to live a life which is more than abundant. Today we want to look at Release from Your Prisons. It begins on page 3. It's the first study in Volume 1, the Blue Book. The Bible Tells Me So. The first study, Release from Your Prisons. Today we want to look at Release from Your Prisons, and the way we're going to look at it is in three sections. Number one, we want to look at God's will for His people. Then we want to look at some of the principles we can operate so that we can have God's will coming to pass in our personal lives. And thirdly, we'll look at a biblical example of these principles in action in God's Word. Here in John 8, we're going to see... Remember John 10:10b in the Power for Abundant Living class, I am come. Jesus Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just abundant, but more abundantly. Jesus Christ came to make life available. In order to live a more than abundant life, a man or a woman must have freedom from bondage, physical, mental, spiritual bondage. The chains that bind one's mind are perhaps the most painful and defeating bondages or prisons that anyone could have, far beyond any physical chains or bondage. And as Christians, you and I have been freed from all those bondages because of the life of Jesus Christ, who has delivered us. And that's what we read here in verse 31 of John 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. And that is what Jesus Christ came to do, to free us from all bondage. Jesus Christ was talking to those believers, and He said, If you continue in going to church every Sunday, not that one. If you continue in your tithes and offerings, that isn't it. If you continue in My word, yeah, that's it. And if a man or a woman continues in God's word, he no doubt will fellowship. Maybe he'll fellowship on Sunday. Maybe he'll fellowship with believers every day of the week. And if he continues in God's word, he no doubt will share of his finances and his abilities. He no doubt will want to do the things that God encourages a man or a woman to do. But God's Word says that when Jesus Christ spoke, He said, If you continue in My Word, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. And if you continue in My Word, ye shall know the truth. The truth is found in the Bible, God's Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free. Verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you might be free. No, you shall be free indeed. What a blessing. It's our job, then, as believers, to accept the freedom that Jesus Christ has made available. And the way we accept that freedom is to realize and be very aware of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And the only way to know what He's accomplished for us is to go to the Word of God and find out what it says. Allow it to speak for itself. It's God's will for every person to be released from every prison which encases and binds. The key to release from any prison is to believe God's Word, the Bible, what is written in the Word of God. Some of the worst bondages or prisons that men and women have been in, even born-again men and women who are born again of God's Spirit, they can speak in tongues, and yet they haven't put on the whole mind of Christ that's available to get from the Bible. The most difficult prisons are the ones that are secretive, known only to the individual. Thoughts, many times, are thoughts of secret sins or things of the past that we don't want anyone to know, for if they knew it, they wouldn't think I was Christian. And I think probably the most guilty of this could have been the Apostle Paul, for he murdered Christians. But he says in God's Word, hey, I judge not mine own self. He didn't go around worrying about his past and his involvement in past sins. He was freed from those prisons in his mind. You and I have the privilege of going to God's Word and believing it or rejecting it. If we believe it, we can be like the Apostle Paul and freed in our minds from any bondage or fear. Some of the thoughts that we carry with us even today are thoughts of condemnation. We're not good enough to have what God made available. Or we have thoughts of sickness and disease, especially if we've had any of that in our family's background. We're really concerned that we'll get that. Thoughts of worry, doubt, and fear, which are covered in the Power for Abundant Living class. Worry, doubt, and fear is not from the true God. Thoughts of anxiety, death, even suicide. These are tormenting prisons to those who carry them with them, and I trust that you aren't among them, but if you are, God has made available freedom from those prisons. God does not want us mentally bound, and He has given us total release from all the negative prisons of our lives. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 11, shows us God's will. We've seen God's will in John chapter 8, where God wants us free, and His Son said, all you got to do is continue in the Word, which is truth, and you'll be free. And later we read, when the Son of God said, makes you free, you're free how? Indeed. That's how God wants us. Free indeed. And yet, sometimes we carry thoughts of condemnation and all the rest. And in Psalm 103, verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, and when you go out in the evening and look up at the stars, they're way out there. I forget how far away the sun is and how far away the moon is, but it's way out there. You couldn't get there in a day unless you were on the right kind of rocket ship that maybe hadn't been built yet. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His, God's mercy, toward them that fear, love, respect Him. That's how great His mercy is toward you and me. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions, our sins, from us. Should I choose to carry thoughts of condemnation and anxiety and fear, that's my privilege. I can do whatever I want. But God has removed my transgressions from me. As far as the east is from the west, which I don't know how to measure that, that's how far He's removed them from me. God's desire is to see me freed. And His desire for you is to see you freed. How freed? Well, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so that when Jesus Christ made us free, we would be free how? Indeed. He wants us to have all those thoughts of self-condemnation eliminated from our lives. He wants us freed from the powers of darkness that happen to be in this world. And although mankind has lived in the midst of evil and condemnation and so forth since the fall of man in Genesis, God has lovingly provided a way by which mankind can recognize and receive greater and more wonderful power so that those who believe in that power can be released from the prisons that might enslave their lives. In Hebrews chapter 4. Boy, I thought about the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in thinking about prisons. When Jesus Christ returns, Every influence that's not based on the accuracy of God's word is going to be annihilated. So those influences that lead to imprisonment, they're not from God, they're from another source. So all those things are going to be annihilated at the return of Jesus Christ. So they can continue to gnaw at believers and unbelievers alike until his return. But we have a source of power to which we can go, God's word and other believers. We can go to the word and be freed from those powers of darkness. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, we read, "For unto us was the gospel preached." And I think about that as we witness. We hold forth God's word. Preaching means to publicly declare the gospel, the good news, God's word. And it says here, "For unto us was the gospel preached." When we hold forth God's word to our neighbor, to someone with whom we work, to a family member, we hold forth the word of God, the accuracy of it. We tell them about what God has made available. They've got three choices: believe it, not believe it, or check with us tomorrow. And this is what God's word says here: "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." Okay, there's a separation. There's us and them. But the word preached did not profit them because it was not being mixed with faith or believing in them that heard it. The implication here in verse 2 is that it was preached to us and to them. They didn't mix it with believing, so they're having a problem with it. They haven't turned on to and tapped the resources that are available to the believer. Leaving it unsaid that we, of course, have. And this is true. In order to appropriate the things that God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has made available, we've got to mix the promises of God, the preaching of the Word of God, with believing. In other words, someone says, it's available to be healed. The inappropriate response would be, no, it's not. That would be inappropriate, because God's Word says, in 1 Peter 2, by whose stripes ye were healed. And in 3 John 2, he desires that we prosper and be in health. So with those promises from the Word of God, it would be appropriate to believe the Scripture and receive the promise as God's Word has laid it forth. So we must believe when God's Word says that Jesus Christ has made us free. The analogy Dr. Earle uses in The Bible Tells Me So, when he talks about receiving answers to prayer, is a camera. And he talks about the camera in three steps. Number one, if you've got a wonderful camera, got it for the holidays or your birthday or Father's Day or Mother's Day or whenever you got your camera, and you, of course, you kids didn't get it on Father's or Mother's Day, I hope, but anyways, you get these cameras, and you've got a camera. Now, you've got to decide, do you want to take a picture? Yeah, I want to take a picture. I've seen little three-year-olds take wonderful pictures of feet and floors, wonderful stuff. But that isn't the purpose for which a camera was invented. Although we have several souvenirs at home to show to our grandchildren how their father did when he took pictures as a youngster. But, okay, so you've got this camera. The first thing you do when you have a camera is you find a subject for your photograph. Maybe this beautiful flower arrangement. Maybe the flag of the United States of America. Maybe the handsome teacher behind the lectern at the Word Over the World Auditorium. Terrible, I know. Well, I always keep a positive mind picture anyway. Once you have your subject, that's step number one. Number two, then, you want to take a picture of the flag, let's say, and you're standing back there near the back of the auditorium, and you're taking a picture of that flag, and you're getting the entire curtain, and in the far left-hand corner of your camera, you see this eensy-teensy little flag. So you've got rangefinders and all these focusing mechanisms on your lens deal there, and so you try to focus in on just the flag, because that's the object that you want in the photograph. So that's step two, to focus in on the subject, rather than all the extraneous stuff around the subject itself. Then your third step is to decide, and of course I try not to get cameras with this kind of decision to be made, but you decide how much light to introduce so that your Your shutter, when it opens, is open just the right amount of time to get a beautiful, clear picture of your object. Well, that's the way a believer can get answers to prayer and be freed from any prison he ever has had. After you get clear on what you want, you pray, you keep your mind stayed on that particular prayer, you get your subject. Okay, I've got a financial need. Okay, that's my subject. Then I focus in on it. What do I need specifically? What do I need? Well, I need $1,000. Well, wait a minute. I don't need $1,000. All I need is an automobile. Well, really, that's all I need. I don't need $1,000. If you send me $1,000, I could get that vehicle. But if you give me a vehicle, God, I wouldn't need $1,000. So what I really need, I focus in on what I really need. And then I introduce light. God says He wants me to live life more than abundantly. And He has supplied all my need. There's the light of God's Word. So I introduce that to my thoughts, and I start believing on it. And I don't waver. I stick right on that attitude of, I'm focused in, I'm clear on what I want, I've introduced the light, it's mine, I got to believe it. James chapter 1. Reverend Martindale, about a year ago, told us, maybe it's 2 years ago now, that a distracted mind is a defeated mind. We must stay honed in on our subject as we pray. And in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, talking about those who are asking God for something, but let him ask in faith or believing. Let him ask believing. Nothing wavering. Well, God, if it's your will, I'm not sure if it's your will. No, it's your will. I've checked it out in the scriptures, God. So don't waver. Let him ask in believing, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And it's our joy to control our thoughts and our minds to receive the principles that God promises in His Word. I'd like to read to you from The Bible Tells Me So, page 6. By the way, these studies are not long or complicated. They're very simple, and they are so easy to put into practice. This particular situation, one time I graduated from the Way Corps. When I graduated from the Way Corps, Dottie and I wanted to have a stereo in our home. Stereos are a thing that used to put records on. I know you young people don't exactly know what they are. And so we wanted this stereo player. And I put down on a piece of paper how much money I needed. I had, because I wanted a stereo, so I put down money. Then I read this book, and it said, get clear and concerned, focus in. So I decided, okay, what I really need is a stereo. That's what I want, and it's going to help me listen to these albums that I have from the Way International, and it's going to bring a joyful noise to my home. I know God wants me to make a joyful noise unto Him, and He'd rather hear me, have me listening to God's Word in music rather than In a God of Davida and some of the popular songs of the time. So I focused in, I believed, and then I began on my believing quest. Every day I had my prayer list, and I kept it straight, focused, clear and concerned, didn't waver. And I walked into one of my friend's homes, a Corps grad, and he was showing me this humongous stereo system he had just acquired. And I said, man, this is unbelievable. This must be worth thousands of dollars. And it was. I said, this is not what I want. I just want a nice little thing that I could get at Penny's or Sears, but I really am believing God to provide it. I wouldn't know what to do with all these knobs you got here. And he said, come here. He walked me into his bedroom, and in a box in the corner was this small Montgomery Ward stereo that he was putting away in the attic because he had no longer a need for it. How about this? Would this do? Ooh, check one off for God. Yes, that's exactly what would do for me. It had one button, power. It was easy. Well, that's how to receive things from God in the positive side, to acquire things that you need or want that will help you move God's Word in your life. But many times we have things in our lives that we need to eliminate and get rid of. And Dr. Wirral wrote on page 6, if you want to get rid of something today, you must focus, dwell on what you want to get rid of. It's the introduction of light that dispels darkness, not the dwelling on the darkness in your life that will introduce light. If you want more business, better relations between employer and employee, or a better job, get your desire in mind, focus on it, and then determine the exposure time needed to accomplish the task. If you want to get out of your prisons today, immediately change your thinking about your situation. Change your subject of focus. As you change your thinking, you will draw a mental pattern for the things you do want in your life, which in turn will dispel and root out those things which you do not want. You may say, well, that is not an easy thing to do, but I'm going to try it. With God's help, according to His word, I'm going to get out of this prison. However, if within a half hour you have forgotten to keep your thinking changed and you fall back into your old negative rut, you will be back living the same way you were before. Then don't wonder why you can't get an answer to prayer, why you cannot tap these resources, and why the answer is not flowing as easily for you as it does for others, and why you cannot have your release. The answer is that you only momentarily changed your mental image. You did not keep your picture in focus and allow proper exposure time. Later on, Dr. Wirral wrote about the two C's. Number one, clear. Number two, concerned. Clear and concerned. We hear that a lot in the ministry. You get clear on what you want, and then you become concerned about receiving it. Please turn to Mark chapter 5. If we're going to be released from the prisons of life while we're enjoying the more abundant life and getting to the more abundant life, we've got to get God's word of deliverance into our minds and into our hearts. Every time you think of the need that you have in your life, thank God for the answer coming to pass, and your release will be coming. If you're concerned about illness, introduce the light of 3 John 2 and 1 Peter 2:24. If you're concerned about stealing, you got a problem with stealing, Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. If you're concerned about fear, think about maybe 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If anxiety is a problem, Philippians 4:6, the literal, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication give thanks unto God. You better look it up, 4:6, I think it is. Death, if you're concerned about death, think of Hebrews 2:14, who's the author of death? The devil, the adversary, he's the author of death. God doesn't want people afraid of dying, and He has made available the wonderful comfort of the Scriptures so we know about His Son's return and don't have to fear and worry about death. And of course, that wonderful 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Tremendous promises in God's Word to get our minds off of the current problem and into the greatness of God's heart and will for us as believers. So we've seen God's Word, and we've seen some of the principles we can initiate in our lives to be released from prisons. Now we want to look at a real life situation in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, where a woman had a great prison that she needed to be freed from. Beginning in verse 24. What happened prior to verse 24 is Jesus Christ was healing and delivering people right and left. And while he was doing that, a gentleman who was a ruler at the synagogue approached him and said, my daughter's very sick at home. Can you come with me and heal her? And Jesus Christ said, I will. And verse 24, and Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. This is a unique section of Scripture because this woman had a tremendous need, and she was enslaved by an unbelievable prison, larger than you can see just reading the King James here. Jesus Christ was walking along, it says. He went with this gentleman, and much people followed him and thronged him. Thronged him means crowded him. We're trying to get near to him and touch him, because he was helping people. Everywhere he went, he was walking around healing people and blessing their lives, and people wanted more of that in their lives. So they're trying to get near Jesus Christ as he's trying to walk through the crowd to get to this gentleman's home. And while this was going on, verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Turn to Leviticus. We're going to come back to Mark, but I want to show you how severe a problem this woman had. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Old Testament. Leviticus 15. This woman had an issue of blood how long? 12 years. Now, I'll just make it clear to you so you understand. This is a menstrual flow that this lady had. Verse 19 of Leviticus 15. If a woman have an issue, have a menstrual flow, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall put apart 7 days. She shall be removed from society and all the activities of the daily life for 7 days. And whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the even, until nighttime. So, if Maggie Muggins, back in the Old Testament times, Levitical law times, if she had a menstrual flow, she was to remove herself from all the activities for how long? 7 days. And then if I went to give Maggie something and inadvertently touched her, I'd be unclean till when? Even. I couldn't go mess around either. I'd be separated for a while. Verse 20, and everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sits upon shall be unclean. The couch, the sofa, the bed, the chairs, the floor, the rock, the horse, whatever she sits on, whatever she lies on is unclean. And verse 21, whosoever touches her bed shall have to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. If you just go touch her bed. Verse 22, and whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be unclean until the even. Quite a severe situation. And this is if you have an issue, just an issue. You're unclean for 7 days, the lady is, and if you touch anything that she's responsible for, you're unclean. You got to go take a bath and hang out until the sun sets. Verse 25, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, what's the time of separation? Okay, so if she has an issue of her blood many days out of the 7 of her separation, or if it runs beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean, and she shouldn't be hanging out with all the people in the neighborhood. How long did this lady have an issue? So according to Levitical law, could she be in this large crowd that Jesus Christ is walking through? Should she be out of the house? If she was, she should have taken Tide with her to give to everybody that she touched. Look back at Mark chapter 5. She had a need. She was enslaved and imprisoned in her life. For 12 years she was to be separated. She had a need. But she also knew what that need was, and she got clear on what the need was, and then she focused in on how she was going to get the deliverance from that need. And she decided going to see Jesus Christ was the way to handle it. And she had tried other things. Verse 26, she had suffered many things, many treatments from many physicians, and had spent all that she had. She had exhausted her resources and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. If Levitical law was in vogue at this time, was she supposed to be there? She better not be there. And she's in a crowd. I mean, she's not like on the side of the street where nobody comes along. She's in a crowd. These people are thronging Jesus. And she thinks, says, she said, when she had heard Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment because she said, she was so focused, she said, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. She made up her mind, she was going to be whole. All she had to do was to get to that garment of Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. If Jesus Christ's garment touches that unclean woman, what happens to him? He can't go out until even. She didn't think about all that. She concentrated on what she knew was available from the Lord Jesus Christ. She went straight to the Master. She had a need. And she focused in on how to get released from that need, that prison. And then, of course, she believed to receive, because it says, verse 29, and straightway, which means immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. That's fantastic, that she believed to receive like that. She exposed her life to the light of the words that Jesus Christ spoke and believed. She focused in on her need. She was clear and concerned, and there she was. He walked by. She touched the garment. Healed. Right like that. And that's available today, contrary to most of the common belief of our day and time. It's available to receive from the Lord Jesus Christ today. Deliverance. Freedom from enslavement, just like this gal did. It takes a great deal of understanding and believing God's word. That's all it takes. And it's available in this ministry to get that information. She said, if I can just touch, I'll be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood is dried up. She felt in her body she was healed of that plague. Verse 30, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, the word virtue is also translated power in other places, that power, virtue, had gone out of him. And how did he know that? He received revelation. God told him, power's gone out of you. And he felt it. Virtue had gone out of him. He turned about in the crowd, the word press is crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? There are thousands of people there, probably at least hundreds, and people throwing him, trying to get healed to touch him. And he goes, who touched my clothes? Yeah, you're laughing, and so did the disciples. Verse 31, the disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? Come on, Jesus. And they're making, you know, what are you, look at all these people. And verse 32, he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. How did he know which woman had done it? God had to point even that out to him. But the woman, fearing and trembling, she had great respect, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she knew she was healed. She had felt it. It told us back up in verse 29. Knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, which is a sign of outward sign of respect for the Master, fell down before him and told him all the truth. And as far as I'm concerned, that means she told him what kind of an issue she had and that she came to this place to receive her deliverance. And Jesus turned and looked at her and said, you scum, you filth of the earth, get out of my presence. You've contradicted Levitical law. I'd never do that. No, he didn't. Jesus Christ got criticized because he didn't wash his hands when he ate corn once. Tradition wasn't really important to Jesus Christ. Believing was important to him. And verse 34, he said unto her, not filth, he said daughter. Daughter, your believing has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. What a loving Savior. Was she clear and concerned? Did she believe to receive? Yep. Was she freed from her prison? Easy. Did she get distracted? I mean, could she have been distracted? Oh, I shouldn't go out today. I'm gonna make the Savior unclean, but I'm going to touch his clothes. Oh, maybe I should. She could have gotten so distracted. Look at all these people. Oh, they're all getting unclean as I walk through the crowd. No. She did not get distracted, and she received that which she was believing. It doesn't matter who you are or what your prison has been. God will hear your prayer and give you that which you desire. You change yourself. your situation that you're in now, you change yourself by changing your thinking patterns and lining them up with the thoughts and thinking of God's Word. Then the circumstances in your life change and you are freed. And the way to get to that place is to study God's Word. Read it and enjoy it and study it. And you'll learn to know the Christ who has made you free. And outside of Christ, we can't be made free. So we got to go to Christ who makes us free. The truth of the Word and the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of our life. And it is our release from any prison, worries, doubts, fears, anxieties, suicide, frustrations, headaches, whatever it is, anything else, it is the Word of God and Christ that lights up our life. And the Word and Christ are our means to get out of the negative prisons of self-enslavement into the glorious liberty of the children of God that is available to us today. When you find yourself in one of life's prisons, make sure you get a clear, positive mind picture of seeing yourself free. And then focus in on the positive image and thank God that right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have the answer. And then thirdly, keep confessing and believing positively according to God's Word, the light of God's Word, and your release will absolutely follow. Heavenly Father, thank you for the greatness of your Word and the principles that live in that Word, and for the desire you have to see mankind freed. Thank you, Father, for giving us a ministry that loves you and goes to you via your Word that you've so freely given unto us, and that we can appropriate those promises that you've made available to us and enjoy your great love and see great freedom from all the prisons of this life. Thank you, God, for your goodness and love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.